It's a joy to see you, and thank you for being with us. We are teaching a very particular and special group of lessons I call Demons and Deliverance, Principalities and Powers, Volume 1. We have Volume 2, which we will not be dealing with in this series, that has to do with spiritism and witchcraft and naming them and what they teach. And here we're dealing with the doctrines from the Word of God relative to principalities and powers that exist. And we wish that you already had your teaching syllabus, and maybe that out there on television after the first lesson you will quickly get your syllabus so that you will be able to follow lesson after lesson. We are following almost word by word out of the teaching syllabus. Besides being able to have it in print, you can get it by video if you like, and play it again in your own player there in your living room. And there are those that study very successfully in the audio tape. You can secure just one, or you can secure the entire group of every one of these lessons, which will be possibly 20 or more lessons. And we would just like for you to become very well acquainted in this subject, because in this subject lies the victory of the Christian church. It is not a matter of option to where you say, well, I'll study it or not. In these last days, you will have to combat Satan. Christ had no options when Satan came into the wilderness there to tempt him. He had no option but to face him. And you have no options, but you can be victorious, just as Jesus was. Jesus was victorious by knowing his enemy and knowing how to handle him through the Word of God. And if Eve had known the same thing, had stuck to the Word that God had already spoken, she never would have fell either. And so our security, the church security, is in our knowledge of the Word of God and utilizing that Word. We have come to Lesson 7 in this group. We are studying off of page 19 in your teaching syllabus there. It has to do with where in our modern civilization, in our modern lives, where will you be able to recognize demon power? Now this is an essential lesson. I mean, if you can't get a hold of this, you might possibly be deceived in many areas. And I just want you to realize that we must know where the devil is hiding and how we can identify him as in those areas. In the world that we live in today, in our modern world, many millions of thinking people are coming to realize that there is a definite, though invisible, spiritual force arrayed against humanity. They took them a long time to come around to that kind of a decision, but they have come to know today that there are positive, invisible forces that you can't see with your natural eye, but they are arrayed against humanity to hurt humanity. These forces are indiscernible in many avenues of human life, but to those who understand what motivates and where strength comes from, they're able to identify the enemy of our souls and the enemy of mankind. Now, there are strange happenings that indicate that a power which is other than human is struggling to dominate the modern world. Now, if you will, that is a strong saying. If you would, you know, bring yourself to think, turn off your TV set. Not if it's my program. But if you would get yourself in a quiet attitude and begin to think, you will come to believe and to realize also that there are happenings today. The man in Miami that said he had 27 entities functioning through him. That's not normal to have 27 devils functioning inside of one man, and the poor psychologists and psychiatrists are working themselves to death, you know, trying to analyze it and trying to find out what it's all about. And it's another world than their world. They deal in the world of mind, and that thing's in the world of spirit. Two different worlds altogether with a wall between them that you can't get through. They'd have to be born again to understand that world. Otherwise, they don't even understand the message that I'm giving to you right now. For the man in Chicago that murdered those nurses, you don't take seven beautiful little girls and take a butcher knife and hack them to pieces, excepting there's something in you that's not human. And so our world is coming to realize that there are strange happenings that indicate there is a power other than human struggling to dominate this world that we live in today. And that power you and I must come against. It is a world of spirit, and we are spirit. God created us a spirit. We have a positive right to come against total evil in the area of spirit. There is a restlessness. God only knows that. Never was humanity so restless as it is today. There is a restlessness that exists within modern society which defies explanation, excepting that there are supernatural activities of demon power just rushing people around. They don't know where they're going, they don't know why they're going, and they don't know when they're going to be back. They're just going. They're just going, just going, just going. Never has our human family been as restless as it is today. I believe with all my heart it is the functioning of demon power. And we must identify that and come to realize that. The irony and the tragedy of the operation of demon power is this, and I hate to say it, but it is true, is that the less the church, you know, your denomination, the less that the church teaches about demon power, the more control the devil takes over society. So he functions in ignorance. And if he can get your pastor to say, oh, I don't understand it, oh, the devil say, hey, I'll have a heyday now, you see, because they won't even talk about me. They say they don't understand me. Good. Keep them dumb and keep them dark. You there? All right. In the world that we live in today, half the world is possessed of the devil. That great heathen world is more than half possessed of the devil. They worship the devil. They seek after the devil. They fast and pray to receive the devil's power. It's very true. I've been there. I've been in 100 nations of the world, lived there over half of my adult life. And so we understand that. But the other half of the world, they don't even want to believe that he exists. We have conditions in our country today that are most interesting and beautiful families. A girl came to me the other day from one of our great universities, and she had a high position, and because she was tormented by a spirit that clawed on her body and tormented her body, she had to give up that position in what is called a Christian university and return to her parents' house to be locked into a room because of the spirit that was tormenting her. My friend, that should not be. That should not be. I don't mean maybe. We've got to learn to deal with the principalities and powers that are infernal, that are diabolic, that are evil. We must learn to deal with them with no uncertainty. We know the truth, and the truth is that Jesus Christ is the conqueror and that we are behind him in battle and we cannot lose. We must come to that. But as long as half the world is possessed, the other half don't even believe in it. There are people coming to believe in it because their own family has become where they're not normal in their regular activities of the emotions. They're not normal, and they know that there's a strange power that's there, and they need deliverance. You may only need a 30-second prayer. Just say, be free in Jesus' name. You see? Oh, it's so wonderful to follow Jesus, to know the Lord, you know, to have this power, to have this anointing from the Lord, to know that we are the kings of the earth. When you read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, I have given man dominion over everything that moves. If it moves, you've got dominion over it. The Bible says in the last days that Jesus Christ would make us to be kings and priests. They're both rulers, both rulers. The priest is a ruler in the religious world, the king is a ruler in the physical world. And so they are both rulers. God created man to rule. You're not a servant. You're not a dog. You're not an outcast. You're not a slave. You're free. You've got to exert your freedom in Jesus' name. The church needs to say with the Apostle Paul, as he spoke in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, we are not ignorant of his devices, speaking of the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices. The church needs to carry out the great commission of Christ. You better read it. Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament. Chapter 16, the last chapter. Beginning in verse 14 through verse 18. Read the Great Commission. See what it says. Preach the good news. Tell it to the ends of the earth. Cast out devils by the power of Christ. That is your commission from the Most High God. I urge you and I beg you to follow it through in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, this lesson today has to do with where can you recognize demon power? I'll give you seven of them briefly and quickly, and then we'll analyze them. Not thoroughly. In these lessons, we're wanting to teach you how to learn. We're wanting to teach you how to go after it yourself. We're wanting to teach you how to explore in truth and in the Word of God. So we're trying to plant a seed that it will grow in your life, a seed of knowledge, and may it grow. There are seven of these that I wish to first name them and then go into them. That is, in our modern society, in these areas, you'll be able to recognize demon power today and greater in the future. That it's only beginning today. It's small today. Great in the future out there. All right? One is in the world of apostasy. Now, we have scriptures for these, and you'll be able to write them down. In the world of apostasy, that means backsliding. That means going away from God, slipping back, and not having what you used to have. In the world of business, oh, you say demon power in the world of business? Yes, we will show you that. In the world of politics, you mean politicians? Yes. Yeah, you've had a lot of madmen in politics. Hitler was a man possessed of the devil. And no doubt men like Napoleon, Alexander the Great, were men that had a spirit in them so restless until they couldn't cease to march. They were marching spirits on the inside of them to destroy the human race. All right, in the world of politics, in the world of crime, a person that commits unprovoked murder, kills a stranger, you've got to analyze it. You can't just be stupid and say, oh, well, no, not oh, well. He's possessed of a spirit to kill. And he needs, well, according to the Bible, if he takes one's life, his life should be taken. The government should take and relieve him of living on the face of this earth. He has forfeited his privileges to live on the face of the earth. Now, that's according to the Bible. We got some nuts living today that think you can kill 50 people and put you in jail for 3 years and let you out to do it again. But we're not following you. You better believe it. Whether you're a judge or a lawyer or whatever you are, we're not following you. We're following the principles of the universe that began with Adam and continues on today. We get into the great avenue of truth, and we follow the avenue of truth from its source and its beginnings until this moment. You better believe that. We are not following stupid people today saying kooky things. And God help us. We live in a kooky world today. You better get your information from the right source and follow it correctly. Otherwise, you'll in eternity meet the God of the universe. And you know how he's going to judge you. The Bible says he's going to judge you out of this book. You better read it, because that's how you're going to be judged. In the world of crime, in the world of occultism. Occultism is growing faster in this land today than it has ever grown in any country in the history of mankind. The rapidity of it is overwhelming. In the world of disease, demon functions. In the world of morals. Let's begin at the top one. In the world of apostasy, in its relationship to demon power, let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Bible-believing Christians are persuaded that we are living in a final crisis for this dispensation, and that they believe the greatest crisis of the last 2,000 years. We believe that. And we believe that we shall see amazing phenomena, spiritual phenomena, angels and demons, just like it was in Jesus' day. There were angels and there were demons. The angels were the blessers and the lovers. They announced the birth of Jesus. And they were with him. They gave him strength during his ministry. They took him back to heaven. They sat by his tomb when he was resurrected. They were all around him at all times. Also, there were demons. And you'll find that's the warfare between the two. Christians will find angels supporting them and succoring them and strengthening them. And there are many reports of the manifestation of angels in the world that we live in today. Go to your bookstore, and I also have a book about angels. Write to our office and find out about it. There will be more demon activity and more people possessed and oppressed than the world has ever known. Now I don't think I can tell you what the Lord told me, because it is just too fantastic. I don't think you are ready for it. And so I'll have to tell you that I have word from the Lord about our country, as to the number that's going to be possessed of evil that is shocking, and that turn your back against evil. Evil can come in so many ways. Take this little creature called E.T., extraterrestrial, you see. It means out of this world, out of this world. And that little creature walked among people And our nation went crazy about it. Nation went crazy about it. What if somebody had said in Chicago, I've been healed by E.T., and somebody in Detroit says, I've been healed by E.T., and someone in St. Louis says, I've been healed by E.T.? You'd have a God on your hand. You'd have millions of Americans bowing down to those little creatures that they buy at the store and worshiping, says, E.T., heal me. E.T., heal me. We're living in a critical moment. We're living in a critical moment. Man is thirsting for knowledge extraterrestrial. Why doesn't he seek God? That's where it is. That's where the true knowledge is. Why don't we seek him? And we'll find I have extraterrestrial strength within me. I have supernatural power within me. I have the anointing of God within me. Every one of us can have it. Every one of us can have it. There are more people actively engaged in activities that are demonic. And there are more people that are hurt and are oppressed and depressed than the world has ever known before. You see, what is the hope? The hope is that the church should rise to this occasion and stand up tall inside and command the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and use it to set men and women free from Satan's power. That is the biggest challenge the church of today has. Students, it's your job to get out there and do the work. It's our job to stand up against Satan and all of his emissaries, to set humanity free by God's mighty power. Satan is bad. He's always been bad. From the Garden of Eden to this moment, he's always been bad. But he's living in his dying moments right now. He is just about finished and through. And like an animal that's hurt and dying, it's dangerous. Dangerous. He has a short time to do the work he wants to do, and he is throwing all he has into it. Don't let him hurt you, nor your family, nor your friends. Resist him in Jesus' name. Without this magnificent power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church will fail in its last duty to mankind before the Lord returns to his bride. Would you hate to be in a church and that church fails its last duty before the Lord Jesus Christ comes? We do have a duty. The church does have a duty. And if it fails in this ultimate duty of setting people free in these last days, most of your churches are afraid of the subject that you're watching right now. That's right. They're afraid of it. They run from it. And some ministers will lie. Says, oh, I don't want to talk about the devil. That would exalt him. When you see the devil, ask him if I ever exalted him any. You say, hey, that man's my worst enemy. He destroys me. He casts me out. He chases me away. I don't like him at all. All we have ever done is to hurt him, to reveal his wickedness and awfulness and dirtiness, that men and women might be free by God's mighty power. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Timothy 4:1, that the Spirit speaketh expressly. And I wish you'd maybe open your Bibles there to that 1 Timothy 4:1. That the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times. Now, if you were to analyze the words here, number one is the Holy Ghost is speaking. That's with a capital S. Go right on back into your Greek, and you'll discover that it is the Holy One himself speaking. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the third person of the Trinity. The comforter that Jesus said he would send when he left this earth. The Spirit, he is speaking. Notice the next word, expressly. Now, when you start speaking expressly, you're giving a message that you don't want anybody to miss. You're saying something, you don't want anybody to lose it. Expressly. If you speak expressly to a dog, he gets out of the house. If you speak expressly to your children, they stop what they're doing, you see. And the Holy Ghost is speaking expressly to the church. Well, you better stop what you're doing and listen then. If he is speaking expressly to the church, we better listen. What does he have to say? He says, in the latter times. Well, if we're not living in the latter times, there won't be any. We're living in the latter times. Scientists know it. Yes. Politicians know it. Economists know it. Seems like everybody knows it but the church. Isn't that something? It is a message for the church, and they're the ones that don't know it, that we're living in the latter times. It says, some shall depart from the faith. What do you mean? They'll depart from the Bible. They will depart from truth. They will say, oh, homosexualism is normal. Neighbor, homosexualism is a spirit, a demon spirit. It isn't normal for a man to make love with a man. It isn't normal for a hog, a male hog, to make love to a male hog. Isn't love normal for a rooster to make love to a rooster? Are you there or not? How stupid has our country gotten today? That is a spirit, an evil spirit. And that person's not happy. When he says he's happy, he's a liar. He can't produce children. No. He can't have a real home. No. He can't have tender love. No. He needs something cast out of him, and then he can have these rewards of living on the face of this earth. All right, church, whoever you are, your denomination, and I want to say something to you right now. If your minister gets up and he's afraid of this message on devils, you better get out of that church. He's not worth much to you. You better get yourself out of there. You better tell that boy to learn something and stop reading magazines and start reading the Bible and find out the ministry of the last days. It's upon us. It's on us. It's on us right now. He says, I speak to you expressly, latter times. That's right now. Departure from the faith, from the traditional word of God. Oh, miracles are not for today. Well, now, smarty, who told you so? How'd you get to be so clever? Oh, you better do some thinking. The word of God does not say that. Jesus Christ says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is or he is not. You better believe that he is. You'll have to meet him one day. They depart from the faith. Don't do that. Cling to the word of God. It's all true, totally true. What will they do when they depart from the faith? Then they're going to give heed or attention to or give themselves over to seducing spirits. A spirit can say to you, oh, the virgin birth. Well, it wasn't really a virgin. You know, little girls playing with boys, don't you? You are a son of the devil when you say that. That's right. That's right. You better listen to me. The word of God is true. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world with a sperm of the Holy Ghost. He was divine. You say, why in the world did he come to identify himself with your problems? Had he come as an angel can't identify with your problems. An angel can't know how you're feeling. He's never been a human. God became man to identify himself with your sorrows, and your hurts, and your problems, to lift you out of them. Are you getting it? I want you to. Seducing spirits that generally seduce you away from the truth of God. And then he says, in doctrines of devils. So a seducing spirit is a lying, deceiving spirit. Doctrines of devils mean exactly what it says, the devil's doctrines. Satan's always had doctrines, and he proclaims these doctrines in every generation. He told Eve she would not die. Oh, that was a good doctrine, wasn't it? Oh, you won't surely die. That was his doctrine. But she did die. That was God's doctrine. So she had to decide which one she would believe. She believed the wrong one and lost. When the devil asked the Lord Jesus Christ to become selfish and to make himself some bread because he was hungry, that was one of his doctrines. He said, now you know you have the authority and the power to make bread. And Jesus says, you don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hey, victory is in the word of God. Victory is in quoting the word of God. Victory is in knowing the word of God. We want you to know the word of God. The doctrines of devils will take believers where the devils are going to go. And that's to hell. That's into perdition. Is this prophecy being fulfilled today? I believe it is. We have in the world today more cults than we've ever had before. We have more spiritism than we ever had before. We have church groups, and I don't want to name them because some of you belong to them, church groups that have their own book telling them what to do. Now, I want to tell you something. Every book you've got in your house telling you how to live and what God has said, you better burn it. Oh, an angel gave it to him. You know what Paul said? Even if an angel gives you another doctrine, denounce him. The Bible says that. Don't you go to any other book created by a man and say, this is the book that I go by. It teaches me. No, you don't. You're going to be judged in heaven, not by a book that a man wrote. You're going to be judged in heaven by the word of God. That holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke the words that are in this book called the Bible. And that is the book that we will be judged by. When Satan leads anyone into error, he leads them from error to error. He won't ever stop. There is no terminal point in error. There's a vast revival of Satanism and witchcraft, which are forms of demon worship. And let me say, read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. Now, those are the opening remarks on where to recognize demon power. And the first world was a world of apostasy, the world of apostasy, of religion that we have gone into. And in our next lesson, we will follow immediately with the world of business, of politics, of crime, of occultism. And if you don't have your teaching syllabus, by all means, get it as quickly as you can. And start studying truth together. Oh, I'm afraid. Get fear cast out of you. What kind of a sergeant would you make in an army? You're even scared to study about the enemy. You would be court-martialed. You can receive all of these lessons by audio tape, by videotape. You can receive them in a most beautiful album, that you have the whole grouping of them, you see, in an album to where you have them all. This is the hour of intense study. There are more people studying the Bible right now than ever before in history. There are people learning more about God right now than ever before in history. And I'm saying God needs a million teachers right now that will teach the unadulterated Word of God without fear and without compromise. And you are the ones that God is looking for. You are the one. Lord, bless those that see me by television and those that hear me in the class. Bless them alike, we pray, right now. Unfold divine truth to them. Now, we believe you for it, and we thank you for it. Set people free that have been hurt by the devil's power, in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to know that God can set you free from any hurt that you have. I want you to know also that you can form Bible study groups, and even we can provide you with the examinations, and they can take their examinations, and we can and then we will give you a certificate of completion for those studies. So you can get busy teaching and helping today. We have a world that needs tremendous help, and we want all of us to be part of it. In Jesus' name, may the good Lord bless you and keep you until we meet again. Other lessons are coming up. Don't miss them. Thank you. Goodbye for now. It's more exciting to see you and to love you and to bless you. The Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And for that purpose, we come into a class like this. And all over America, if you're interested in Bible college, we have a Bible college right at our headquarters where we teach these truths. And you can write and find out about it and come and learn the Word of God in its fullness and take a 2-year course or a 4-year course in studying all of the great truths of the Word of God. We'd be delighted to see you and to have you. We are studying at this time in a beautiful series of lessons called Demons and Deliverance, Principalities and Powers. And if you don't know who your enemy is, you can get yourself all fouled up. And you can receive these studies from us in written form in our beautiful textbook that we made ourselves, and this teaching syllabus, this done very simply. There is no one that cannot understand it, and yet all over the nation, ministers tell me they teach directly from it, from their pulpits, because the outline is done just to where they can use it in that way, and we're happy for that too. Anyone who teaches the Word of God, we are happy for them. Particularly at this time, we're dealing with where to recognize demon power. And in our group of lessons, this is lesson number 8 in this group of lessons. And we have already initiated this lesson. This is part 2 of it. And we name 7 areas, that there are possibly more, and you might find some and call me or write to me and tell me about it, in the world of apostasy, in the world of business, the world of politics, the world of crime, the world of occultism, the world of disease, and the world of morals. That we will see manifested unclean spirits and demon spirits. Now, we dealt with the first of these in the world of apostasy very carefully in our last lesson. In today's lesson, we have the world of business. In James 5 and 1, it says, Paul is warning man against the evil of covetousness or greed. And he equates this with idolatry. That's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. He equates greed and covetousness with idolatry. The love and the lust for money is a spirit, mind you. And another area in which we may expect increased demon possession and power and visibility in our days just ahead of us. The Bible specifically says in 1 Timothy 6 and 10 these words, "The love of money is the root of all evil." I have studied that at times in a penetrating way. And you take an evil and lay it down and start discovering its roots, and the root of it will have to do with gain. It don't matter what you take up that's bad. You look down through it, and the root of it is the love of money. Having money is not bad. Money is an intercourse of exchange that we have to have on the face of the earth. But if you worship that as a god, and you try to strip everybody else of theirs and take everybody else's, then you have gotten into a satanic situation that has no reason to it and has no goodness to it. You don't want to give your wife any money, your children any money. All you want to do, you don't know what you want to do with it. Just grab it and grab it and grab it. But I have some lessons that you ought to learn. And one of them is the movement of wealth. And I showed the movement of wealth in the empires. How under the Babylonian Empire, the wealth of the world was there. But when the Persian Empire rose, the wealth of the world changed and went there. And then I showed how the wealth of the world moved to Greece, and the wealth of the world moved to Rome, and the wealth of the world moved to France, and the wealth of the world moved to Spain, and the wealth of the world moved to England, and now the wealth of the world came to America. But it's leaving. The wealth of the world is now going to the Arab countries, to the Arab states. And so don't worship the stuff. It's always going somewhere except to heaven. It's not going up there. There won't ever be any earthly wealth in heaven. The only thing that's going to be in heaven from this earth here will be you. Yeah, heaven is made for beautiful immortal souls like yourselves. People become addicted to greed. It's like a narcotic to them. It's like heroin is to the dope addict. Covetousness and greed become a disease inside of a person. Or more than that, it becomes an unearthly desire. People will abuse their families. They will cheat members of their own families. They will lie about it. They'll sell their reputation. They'll sell their bodies. They'll sell their souls. They'll sell anything when that spirit of greed comes upon them. They'll sell their reputation. Anything. Almost every evil in the world can be traced to a love of money. Homes are broken. Men rob to kill. Rob and kill in order to have money. We read in newspapers almost every day about the death from malnutrition of an old recluse whose mattress and secret hiding place yielded as much as $100,000, some of them $500,000. And there they starved to death with all that money. They just couldn't afford to spend a dollar, for food. And here they died. That has to be a spirit. Couldn't be God. Because God is love. God would have them giving it away to their neighbors and paying the little boys around there to fix up their house. And here they lived in filth and malnutrition because of a lust for money. There are just too many Americans today who have allowed the dollar to become a master. That is of evil. Covetousness will increase in these last days. God wants us to love him and not to love the things of this world. And 1 John 2 and 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The devil is ruling in big business today. And in big business of the future, he is going to rule. And you say, "Well, what shall I do about business?" Do your business fairly and do it honestly. But don't let it become a part of your spiritual being. If Wall Street goes up or down, don't get moved on the inside. If there's a Great Depression, don't get moved on the inside, because earthly gain is not your seat of power. It's not your seat of happiness. It's not your seat of peace and joy. It's not your eternal seat. We are bound for heaven. We are on our way to heaven, and we are not contaminated with this earth. We use the things of this earth only to take us on our way to heaven. And when we look at it that way, it's a beautiful way to live. The third of these areas where you can watch for a demon power to show up is in the world of politics. In the world of politics, demon power is especially recognizable in aspects of our modern world. And a strange phenomenon in human actions today simply cannot be accounted for unless we will recognize the demon power operating in a modern world. All these wars that you're having, it's the devil that stirs people up. There's no reason to it. There's plenty of room in the Near East. They can have 10 times their population, and there's room for everybody there. It could become a garden. Everywhere those Israelis put water, it is a garden there. You go and look in one place one year, and it's a desert. The next year you go back, and it's a town with trees and grass and growing. There's room for everybody there. But the devil won't let them settle down. The devil's going to make them fight and scream and hate and kill because he is the devil. Because he is the devil. And so we recognize demon power operating in our modern world. Satanic oppression, even in the political world, is seen and understood in the Word of God. And so when we realize this and we know this, that in the world of politics there is a demon power. You read Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 to 20. And Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days. And after 21 days, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Your prayer was answered from the first moment that you prayed, but the prince of Persia detained me, and finally I had to secure the assistance of Michael, another angel, one of the chief princes, in order to win the battle." Now you see, in the political world, you say, "Well, this is talking about a man." No, you read that, and you find that he was in the Garden of Eden, and that he's the one that made made the earth to tremble. It's talking about the demon prince that ruled in that land of Persia, that he stood up and said, "Wait a minute, I'm not letting any blessing come through to that man." And there was a battle, a cosmic battle in the heavenlies. Oh, you say, that's too far out. Well, you better get on in. These are things you're going to have to understand in these last days in which we live today. This incident affords you and me a tremendous revelation of an unseen world, a battle being fought in the world of spirit, in the realm of governments and nations that are in today. Look at poor Northern Ireland. Look at Africa. Look at Central America. Neighbors. Huh, what good is it doing anybody to kill one another? You see, you have to know the devil is functioning and operating in persons, or it simply would not happen. It would not happen. There are ways of solving problems without killing your neighbor. We've got to know that. Must understand. The incident of King Herod destroying the children in Bethlehem, all the boy babies, is another case of a man in high position in politics and the devil filling his heart full of hate. That he, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18, he went and killed all the boy babies in the whole region around about because he was so angry at God and so angry at heaven. In modern times, you have a man like Hitler in Germany. He dealt with spiritism all the time. He dealt with witches all the time. He dealt with the stars, trying to find out his destiny all the time. He was a man possessed. You could hear him scream and yell and talk with his blaring eyes, and you could see that it was not human, that it was a demon spirit that was possessing him. In countries like Tibet, where religion and politics are the same, the political leaders are also the high priests of it. You find the power of Satan functioning through the both at the same time, the power of politics and you try to get in and try to do something, and you run into all kind of strange situations because of it. The greatest thing we could say about it is this, that the Antichrist will be one possessed of evil spirits. And in the not too distant future, he will rule the political world, and he will be dominated by demon spirits. As a political world leader, he will obey the devil and ruling the world, and the world will be tormented by him. Now, these are areas where you can look and say, I'm looking for where demon power is approaching, to resist it, to stand against it in Jesus' name. I'd like to bring your attention to the world of crime. And I don't want to bring it too much to you. I have an entire book called Unprovoked Murder. Unprovoked Murder. Much of what's being done today is demon-inspired. It's devil-inspired. Much of what is being done today is inspired of the devil in the world of crime. When you kill a person that you have never seen, that you don't know anything about whatsoever, it is the devil. Or I was in Manila and walked into Bilibid Prison, and the chief physician there, Dr. Lara, said, there are two little babies back in the morgue there. Their parents killed them last night. They came in the house screaming, "We see devils in our bed. We see devils in our bed." They had just come from a spiritist seance. And the next day, when they came to the senses, they said, "My God, we killed our own children." And I saw them. I was there. A mother strangles her little child and says, "A voice told me to do it." It's the voice of the devil, not of God. Another man cuts up the human body, puts it in a suitcase, carries it around with him. Oh, you say he's crazy. No, he's not. He knows how to drive a car. He knows how to go and buy food. He knows all of these things. He's not crazy. He is possessed of evil. A husband shoots his wife and his family and tells the police, "A spirit told him to do that." The compulsion to kill has come from the deep inner drives that are diabolical. The drives that cause you to love come from God. The drives that cause you to kill come from the devil. Demon power is seen not only in the driving force behind brutal nature of modern crime, but also behind the subtle spirit of the age, that death doesn't mean anything, that killing on your movies, give us the death, kill them, shoot them, you know, that's in the age. It motivates people to do evil. How can we counteract the spirit of the age? How can we break the hold of the devil over men? We can only do it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ possesses greater power than Satan or any of the demons of hell. They must obey him. In Matthew 12 and 28, it says that he can break their power. He can destroy their power over man, and they can't do anything about it but be destroyed. It's when you let them do as they please is when they destroy man. Our Lord has given authority in Mark 16 and 17, "In my name shall you cast out devils." In Luke 10 and 17, speaking to 70 men, the Lord says, "And they returned, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name, through your name." In Matthew 12 and 29, it refers to the binding of a strong man. The Christian must have power to bind the strong man, which is the devil. Then he can spoil his goods. Then he can set the devil's victims free. We live in a world right now where there are millions of people who need to be set free. So in the world of crime, there's demon power. And in the world that we live in today, of politics, in the world of business, we see it in all of these worlds, in the world of apostasy, of religion, we see these infernal forces working today. And we could say just a word about occultism, one of the traps of the devil to cause millions of humans to be abnormal in their regular functioning of their mind is through occultism. Occultism can ruin your mind. It can send you crazy. If this were to be studied in countries like India or like Tibet and in other countries that have so many pagan gods, you would discover that their rate of insanity is amazing. It is simply amazing because the devil rules there. Occultism is a mighty force in the world that you and I live today. Not that you have to be afraid of it. You have to resist it in Jesus' name. Large cities in America become very centers of false occults and demon worship. Eternity Magazine states that there are over 2,000 witches just in greater Philadelphia alone. God only knows the number that are in Washington, D.C. Buddhism, as well as other heathen religions, are flourishing in our big cities and even in our universities, where they will not teach the Bible and will not teach Christianity. They will teach Buddhism and give the Buddhist monk $40,000 and $50,000 a year to teach his religion in American universities. Some of these religions are propagating the doctrines of reincarnation, just as Buddhism is doing. That you're born, one time you're a dog, one time you're a cat, one time you're a baboon, one time you're a human, and you go through this long rigmarole here. You're a rat one time, and you're a louse one time, and all of this. And says you're constantly going up. Now, neighbors, the Bible specifically says that it is appointed on the man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now that's Hebrews 9:27. and you better believe it. Now every other thing is a lie. It is not true. Nobody ever lived on this earth twice, and you better believe that. The Bible makes clear that all demon activity will be prevalent in these last days in an accelerated form. That's what you and I... But don't be afraid. When you're the victors and you're the winners, all you do is command the situation. I've never come against a demon-possessed person that could stand up against me yet in all the world, for the simple reason that I say come out, and they have to obey. If that person wants to be free, you can't set anybody free that don't want to be free. At the end of the age, it's going to be more. And so we're living at that point at the end of the age. It is significant that specific demon activity referred to after the ascension of Christ is related to the end of the age. Isn't that amazing? We have been warned that demon activity will be prevalent and will be powerful, and that we should have victory and power over it in Jesus' name. So in the closing days of this age of grace, demons set the stage for Antichrist. Exactly what they're doing. And the chief props that will hold him up will be grand deceptions in the world of religion, in the world of the occult, and demon power. That is where he will cause the world. You know, when he has a deadly wound and stands right up and is instantly healed, they're going to say, ah, he's a god, he's a god. Now the devil has many manifestations. And you'll notice that some of these things in the book of Revelation, it says, in the eyes of men. It shows you that it is a complete deception that they have been deceived by. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 22, false Christ, false prophets shall rise, and they shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the intellect, even the elect. That means the heads, the leaders, the apostles, the great ones, the presidents, you know, those that are overt religious groups. And says these false Christs, and now Jesus said it, and they shall rise, shall show signs and wonders. Now we're coming to that time that they're some so gullible, anybody that think can do a miracle, they're running right after them. You better find out whose wife he's living with, and if he's paid his bills in the last place he was, and find out some things about him before you start running after him. It says they will seduce if it were possible. Now that shows you how strong it's going to be, even the elect. Persistent rejection of truth. Now remember, persistent rejection of truth destroys the sense of truth and lays a person open to deceivableness and unrighteousness and to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders within them. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Read it carefully. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. I hope you've gotten your teaching syllabi so that you can follow this minutely. And learn it and know it. God help us to give it to the world while we have time. And an empty and confused soul becomes a sign to the devil. Here's a house to rent. Here's a house to let. Come on over and get in. An empty and confused soul that doesn't know truth can be possessed because it doesn't know how to rebuke the devil. When there is a vacancy, the devil wants to move in. Keep your life full. This explains why we're seeing such widespread activity of demons in religion and worship. As the soul of man becomes increasingly depleted of true, real, honest spirituality, his soul becomes an unguarded fortress in which demons can say, I have an open access into this place. You better hear me, you backsliders. I am talking to you. Our Lord warns in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places seeking rest. He doesn't find any. Only in a human can he be pleased. He saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And then he goeth and taketh unto him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Men whose souls are empty and hungry and have not been fed upon anything that's good from God, upon the promises of God, those people will find themselves easy for Satan to enter into and to hurt you. Therefore, don't leave a vacancy sign outside your spiritual house. Don't leave an empty sign in your window of your soul. Because if you do, the devil enters into emptiness. That's right. People that are devoid of spiritual life are open for the devil to hurt and to hurt them. And so, please understand that. Now, in the sixth sense, the world of disease and demon power. We have dealt with this in a great and a great teaching series of divine health and healing and divine health. And we'd like for you to get it. We have an entire textbook just like this on healing and how you can be healed. And so in these last days, there is going to be much sickness that's diabolically related. Number seven in this special lesson here is the world of morals. Neighbors, the immoralities of our time are not normal and they are not human. We observe with an amazing increase of demon power and satanic activity in the realm of morals. We're approaching a time when the entire community is going to be under fierce attack by immoral spirits. We've almost come to that right now. Immorality is so rampant. Syphilis is so great. I have been in the white sitting in my office saying, I have herpes. She has them. We got them. You know, just as casual as eating peanuts. I mean that in my counseling studies. Millions of people through illicit sex are finding themselves with gonorrhea and with claps and with social diseases of many stages and kinds that are destroying, and some of them non-healing. The world of morals is under attack at this moment. Family life in America is continually falling apart and being hurt. We don't want to go into that specifically at this moment. We have another whole teaching syllabus on the family. That you should get that teaching syllabus also and learn about what holds a family together. A nation is only as strong as its family. And without a family, you don't have a nation. You have a hell. You have a hell without it. And so we want you to study. In our world of morals, we have moral perversions. It's so bad. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. The perversion that's in our world, the incest that is in our world that we're in today. To communicate one's own sick pathology, especially of one who is a pervert, is now regarded as a high form of art. Of art. Can you imagine it? And the quickest entry into the genius sweepstakes is just to give your soul over into that kind of a thing. And so we would like for you to study these worlds where you can become contaminated with evil power. And in these worlds that you're going to see change. And the world of morals is one that would take an entire lesson. So we're leaving it up to you to study more about it. Don't be part of the uncleanness of the world. Remember, when the devil gets a hold of you, he always undresses you. When he makes a savage out of you, you're completely naked. But when Jesus gets a hold of you, he clothes you. God came down and clothed Adam and Eve in the garden to hide their nakedness. And when you come to God, you put on the clothes. In heaven, we should be wearing the robes of righteousness. We won't be nudies running around up there. And you better believe it. We want you to know that God is a pure and a holy God. And if you live for the devil, you're going to live with him forever. So don't do it. May God bless you. Father, we pray that you'll turn our world around. We pray that you'll help us to turn the world around, to come to God, to love God. And these things that are in the world today, to analyze them and see where they came from and what they are. And if they are of the devil, help us to resist the devil. In Jesus' name, come to all of our neighbors and friends right now and help them. And we believe you to do it. And we thank you for doing it. Be blessed by his mighty power. In Jesus' name. You can receive today's lesson in audio tape form, where you can listen to it again. You can also receive today's lesson in video form, 1/2 inch, for your own player there at your house. You can not only receive it that way, but you can get a great group like this, where you have all of the lessons of this series together in a beautiful folder like this, that you can put into your library. On the back of it, we'll have all the lessons that are inside the folder and the number of them, so you can find them quite easily. We want you to know the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. Be blessed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. We appreciate you being with us. And until we meet you with a further study, we say the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Bless and praise his holy name. Goodbye now.